The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network, available on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboo, and at swn.shiningwizards.com.
Hello, all my Funko Files. This is, of course, your groovy friend, the Wolfman Jack Foley, from the Four Arms and Funk Radio Spectacular. You have the distinct pleasure, as do I, of listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Podcast Network at swn.shiningwizards.com. Oh!
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with your hosts, the Impact Player, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
All right, kids, welcome to another beautiful edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, Episode 43, your new symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. I, as always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Ray, and I'm joined in studio by...
Your nigga Mega Powers.
Oh, he's dropping the N-word. The N-bomb bandit is not Riley Cooper, it is Dave Powers.
You know what? I was going to bring my bell so you can...
The inappropriate bell? The studio is going to need one of those eventually.
If I can remember next time, I'll bring the inappropriate bell.
Absolutely. So a couple things have gone on since Dave and I last spoke and last got together. We had two episodes at the beginning of the month. We're going to be a little more diligent with that. We got a lot of good stuff for you planned. I was just telling Dave about some upcoming events that we have going on. But let me let everybody know what's going on. We just got picked up by GeekLifeRadio.com.
Thank you, Geek Life.
Good shout-out to Jason, all those guys. We're going to be on every Saturday evening from 8 to 10 Central Time. So that means if you're listening Eastern Time, that's going to be like, I think, 9 to 11, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is an hour difference.
Yeah. Thank you once again to Jason and the whole Geek Life Radio crew. Go to Geek Life Radio. We're on there. The Wizards are on there. Apex is on there. My pals, Comic Book Jones, comic book shop down the road here in Staten Island, New York City.
Comic Book Jones.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of guys. They do a podcast also, and WCBJ is now on Geek Life Radio. I didn't know that until I was like went on the page. I was like, holy shit, I go to that store. So
wait, is Comic Book Jones black?
No, he's not.
What?
None of them are African American. What's up with the racism today, Mega
Powers? There's no racism. I'm just asking.
Because his last name is Jones?
Well, there's like Black Belt Jones, Comic Book Jones. I don't know. Maybe there's some sort of relation, correlation.
You're out of control, Dave.
Listen.
Out of control.
Some of my best people are black.
Some of your best people, he says, are black. Have you been, by the way?
It's been an absolutely crazy past couple weeks in good ways and bad ways. I won't go into the bad, but the good ways. I got to work with... Victoria's Secret for the second year in a row. Not for the fashion show. Last year I worked for the fashion show. This year I actually got to film inside of the headquarters for a documentary where actually one of the chicks, Barbara Palvin, like they gave her wings that day. And I got a hug from her. So it was pretty fucking awesome.
She's hot too.
They're all hot except for one. There's one that I just like... How the hell did she get in here?
But, that's weird. Like, normally you look at these catalogs and they're like, they pick these chicks, like they paper cut them, like they cookie cut. Like they're that good looking, And then, and you always find, I guess because we're dudes, you always find that flaw, I guess. Dudes always do. I mean, women are very picky, but men are super picky, I've noticed.
Yeah, I think, a lot of times men can be worse than women, but.
True that.
Well, just look at wrestling fans.
Yeah, it's getting to the bottom of the barrel with that. We're going to get into that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So I spoke to, speaking of wrestling fans and wrestling companies, I spoke to Ryan over at ProWrestlingTees.com. As I mentioned in the last couple episodes, our design was put into them. Apparently, they didn't receive it.
They didn't receive it. It got lost in the mail.
I don't know what happened. There was a maybe I didn't upload it properly. We were trying to figure it out all last week. But as of last Friday, I spoke to Ryan personally. He's a really nice guy. And they didn't, in fact, receive the logo. And they're working on getting our shirts up ASAP. Probably going to be the black shirt with our logo on, our first logo.
The African-American shirt.
Yeah. You're out of control. You're out of control. They're going to be black and white with the logo, and it'll be $19.99. We'll have a whole bunch of...
See, black and white, unity right there.
Yeah. Erase the hate, Dave.
Yeah.
Erase the hate. And, you know, again, it's we got to... If anybody who wants to work on a design, because I like to get more designs. I know the Wizards have like 17 different designs. I like to do that. I like to get... I know we can do that. I want, you know, Dean Stoll did our original.
I know some artists. I'll ask out.
Yeah, we... And anybody on the page... We got a couple of new admins, buddy Nick from Maryland, Kathy, one of the sign girls, signed up. She wants to be an admin because, you know, Otto and Rob have life things going on. They don't want to, and, you know, they're not as posting as much as they used to be.
Life gets in the way sometimes.
Life gets in the way. So, again, guys, be a little more diligent on the page. Dave and I have been posting stuff, too. The main page has been getting some love because it's connected to Twitter, so that's cool. And the more we put on the main page... stuff gets out there, and I've noticed too that our YouTube page has been blowing up the more we add videos. So I'm looking into converting our episodes onto YouTube like the Midnight Jury does.
Nice.
Because it's every day I'm getting new people, you know, subscribing to the page.
Hit it from all sides, Phil.
Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll get that going. Once I figure that out, maybe I'll talk to Eddie from the Wizards. He can do all that for me or show me how to do it. I know the Fallen Angels crew does that as well. And, of course, I want to thank another one of our stablemates, Mr. Adam Henning. Adam just sent me a copy of Future Shock, 89 Starrcade, which is arguably my favorite Starrcade of all time.
It's my favorite. It's everybody's favorite
Starrcade. Well, it's not the best, let's be honest.
It had all the dream matches on it.
It did. It was fantastic. It was well done, well produced on the video for that time.
Yeah.
And this is one of... Ted Turner is one of their first couple of DVD, CD, sorry,
VHS.
VHS tapes, yeah.
They're bogus two-hour presentations.
Yeah, it doesn't have the pre-show, but you know what? It's got, like you said, it has all the dream matches. Legion of Doom, Steiner Brothers. It's got Muta, Luger, Flair.
Flair and Muta.
Sting. Sting's on there. But yeah, thank you very much to Adam from the jury. I'll get that right back out to you.
That's what's up, Adam.
Yeah, man, that's proper. Very much proper. All right, so before we get into our throwback of the week, I want to just touch on some current events. Survivor Series is this Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
It's not like it used to be, sadly.
It's not the Thanksgiving Eve tradition.
It is not, Dave. Not at all.
It's far from Thanksgiving Eve.
Well, it used to be on Thanksgiving. The first couple of them were on Thanksgiving, anyway.
And they used to call them, like, the whatever annual, like the second annual, the third annual. They don't even do that. And there was even, a few years back they were actually considered getting rid of Survivor Series. So that would, at least that was the rumor.
Right. And I just want a couple of the fans on the page were asking about the current Survivor Series, and we'll get right into it. Let's go down the card really quick. The opening match is the curtain jerker, the pre-show. Kofi Kingston, the spot monkey, taking on The Miz. The Divas, nobody cares. Tag team champions, Cody and Goldust, and the Usos, and now returning Rey Mysterio after 17 years of being out.
Whoop-de-doo.
Versus The Shield and the Real Americans. The traditional Survivor Series elimination tag team match. CM Punk and Daniel Bryan versus the other two guys from the Wyatts. And Punk, I'm sorry, John Cena's fighting Del Rio. And Orton's fighting the Big Show. And this is, I believe, what year is what Survivor Series is this? This has got to be.
It's definitely over 20, I know.
We're doing 90 today. So 90 was the fourth.
Yeah, it started in 87.
87, 97, 2007. 8, 9, 35 years already? 25 years already? 25?
Yeah.
That's crazy. 25 years already in Survivor Series?
No, wait a second. It's got to be almost. 30.
Well, 87, 97, 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Oh, wait,
10,
yeah,
11,
you're
12,
right,
cause
it's going to be 26
years.
Shit.
Shit, man, it's crazy. Okay, but the Survivor Series was the Thanksgiving tradition. We're going to carry that tradition today. But before I...
Not on Thanksgiving Eve or on Thanksgiving.
No, but it's almost Thanksgiving, actually. It feels like Thanksgiving, finally. It's like, you know...
I haven't even noticed that it's Thanksgiving because there was, like, Christmas stuff out in August.
There was Christmas stuff. There was Halloween stuff out in July in some of the drugstores down the block from where
it's
I live.
It's insane. It's getting... Next thing you know, there's going to be the freaking Christmas stuff in...
Retail has...
in April.
Yeah, retail... Retail has no friends. They don't care. They're ruthless.
Sounds like wrestling. It's all about the buck. It's
pretty much.
It's like you know what? You walk into the Kmart, if there's even Kmart still around.
Dude, we have two out here, man.
There's one by my house. I actually drove by it with a friend of mine, and we just kind of like looked at it. I'm like, huh, still here, huh? But, you know, granted, there's a lot of like people out there, when they see that shit, they just like, okay. Christmas tree sounds good. You know, it's like 8 months away, but why not?
Right. And so last night was the go-home show. Now, you know, normally when this whole cable thing kicked off and they were doing live shows for each of the brands back in the day, the go-to show before a pay-per-view was huge. Yeah. It would set the tone for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, obviously, Rey Mysterio comes back. I guess nobody cares. It's kind of lackluster at this point. And
how did the fans react?
They popped,
uh-huh.
But they pop when somebody else comes back anyway, whether they're good, bad, or mediocre at this point. You know what? I try
to. So Zack Ryder comes back, everybody's crazy.
It depends. Yeah. Honestly, it depends on the crowd. If it was Jersey, probably not. Long Island, maybe.
Yeah.
If it was Boston, absolutely not. You know, the crowd at this point still dictates what's going on with the business.
You got to know your market.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I don't think WWE appreciates that as much as they should. Biggie Langston won the IC belt last night. They took it off awful Curtis Axel. I had big hopes for him because he was Perfect's kid. Have you seen him fight?
I've seen him fight in the past. I can't say I've seen him lately. But a lot of these guys, you know, I don't really hear too much, you know, what's going on with them. So I can't really say for sure that, you know, what's going on with them is good. So I don't know.
Let me ask you something. You think he's somebody that would have hung with a locker room back in like 85, whether it was Mid-Atlantic or
who, Henning or WWE. Langston?
No, Curtis Axel.
Curtis Axel.
You think you would have hung in a locker room with the Andersons and you know, Ric Flair and Magnum T.A. or Tito Santana, Greg Valentine, Don Morocco?
You know, just from what little I can remember, I can say so. You know, I can't fully give you a yes, you know, on that. But from what I've seen so far, you know, I can say okay, yeah.
That's a fair assessment. Yeah. I don't know. He disappointed me, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, he did. Now, you know, guys like Biggie Langston and Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
Were the epitome of what was going on 25 years ago.
Like, yeah, big dudes.
They wanted the big dudes.
Yeah.
And
they had the look, they had the feel.
Yeah, and like the stiffer the better. It was like, okay, you go out there and give me your best 8 minutes, and it's like, and that's what got Lex Luger over, man. Lex was not very sound.
And in NWA too, but it was just, you know, it was the entertainment era. Well, granted, you know, for as far back as like the 50s, you know, entertainment was what was drawing in the folks. But, you know, the 80s was the epitome of like, hey, this guy's marketable. He looks awesome. He could kind of talk. We could probably sell some shirts off of this guy. People are coming in for him. You know, it works. You know, just like what we talk about with Mid-South, all that stuff.
Yeah, and this, I think, you know, Axel was hurt for a few minutes, and then he just didn't look good the last couple times he fought. They had to get the belt off him. So then I guess Big E with the face turn, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So.
Ha! Perfect sense.
Perfect sense. No pun intended, my partner.
Yes.
Have you seen any good videos lately?
What, as far as YouTube-wise?
Anything. Have you seen any good wrestling lately to speak about before we get into our...
I've been getting into Morton Downey Jr. lately. Because I watched it back when I was a kid.
But didn't know, couldn't really understand it.
And funny enough, I'm actually going to try to get this guy, you know, hopefully on the show, you know, figure out what to do with him specifically. But actually, I'm friends on Facebook with an old photographer of the WWF. His name is Tom Buchanan.
Awesome.
And I just posted some, like, video about Morton Downey Jr., you know, because I watched the documentary recently, and he actually replied to my Facebook post talking about WrestleMania 5.
Ooh, when Jersey.
When he was on Piper's Pit.
Oh, that's right. With the fire extinguisher.
That was that's what he brought up.
Yeah.
Actually, he brought up, like, he went in depth with this. I was kind of surprised, but he's a cool dude. He went in depth about, like, how the fire extinguisher was actually brought up during a production meeting. And some people were saying, you know, they didn't really know for sure what would happen if somebody got hit with a fire extinguisher. But he was also bringing up how there was more than a few people who knew but just didn't say anything. And there was like a minor stir that, you know, he was blinded with this fire extinguisher. But, you know, he said, you know, despite, like, if you haven't seen the Morton Downey Jr. show, you know, it's absolutely a throwback. You know, not too many people remember it. But it was just, like, it was pure combat TV, you know, what Springer became and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a launching pad for everything that is Maury and Jerry Springer and the other crap that's on there now.
Absolutely. And
did he have any pro wrestlers on?
Yeah. Actually, on the Secret group, I posted.
I
posted the pro wrestling episode last
night. That's awesome. All right, so we'll get Tom on the show. His name is Tom, you said?
Tom Buchanan.
Tom Buchanan. Is he a Jersey guy, obviously?
I don't know where he's located. I want to say Connecticut or Vermont, one of those kind of places. But
we'll show Tom some more. Maybe he can share some pictures with us, too.
I know he's more than open, and he's got some stories, and he's very open to talking about whatever.
Yeah, I got some empty walls here, so I'm going to need some pictures. So maybe we'll
you could buy one of my $150 posters.
Christ, I wish I could afford it. I'd love it. You know what poster I really want? I want the Rumble, the Royal Rumble from 92.
Have it.
Yeah, but it's probably like $700, though.
Yeah, well, you know.
Is it original? It's the original.
It's a reproduction, but these things are so rare. That's why I'm selling it for what it goes for, because that's what people are paying for.
Yeah, dude.
Hey, I got to pay the bills, too.
All right, well, this is not the Royal Rumble. This is the Survivor Series.
Yep.
I picked this because I was watching it. Someone sent it to me, and then when I sent it to Dave, he's like, this is my favorite one. I was like, well, even better.
Yeah.
This was the fourth annual Survivor Series.
Yes.
From November 22nd, 1990, from the...
Back when they called it, you know, the whatever annual...
The Thanksgiving night tradition. That's what it was called.
I think at that time it was the Thanksgiving Eve tradition.
It was the Thanksgiving night tradition. It wasn't, again, the first couple of them were on Thanksgiving. So they were calling it the Survivor Series Thanksgiving night tradition. Mm-hmm. This was on Thanksgiving, the 22nd of November, 1990, from the Hartford Civic Center, which was one of the...
In the heart of Hartford.
Well, in downtown Hartford is, if you've been there, you don't want to go there now, but... downtown Hartford was down the road from Titan Towers, up in Stamford. 16,000 for a packed house. This particular card had 40 superstars and 5 matches.
16,000? That's not too much.
No.
For WWF.
It's a small venue. Again, they didn't go. They were very regional. They didn't travel a lot.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of their events were either, you know, on the East Coast or, you know, possibly on the West Coast.
Yeah, they did a few. They would do like the once or twice a year. They wouldn't, you know.
Because there was still, you know, that mentality from the NWA, WCW, and WWF. You know, this is our area, and this is where we, you know, operate, with the occasional, you know, dipping into, you know, other people's territories.
And, you know, you're still 3 years away from Raw and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
And the cable network's actually picking up momentum.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, again, this was the fourth annual event, like I mentioned. It was a couple of highlights. This was the debut of The Undertaker.
Do you know who he replaced on the Million Dollar Team? Because he wasn't originally intended to be on that team.
I know, let's see. No, I don't know. We'll get into that when we get into the matches, though. Hold on to that. This was the debut of the Taker. This was the gobbledygooker. We'll get into that in a little while. This was the Sergeant Slaughter Iraqi sympathizer heel gimmick when he delivered that crazy promo.
Yeah.
And like legitimately pissed off a bunch of our soldiers during Operation Desert Shield.
Yeah. And we all know, you know, WWF or WWE, whatever, you know, they've always had like a good relationship with the military.
With the troops, yeah, man. Yeah. So this was, I remember reading about this in, when I was a kid, I was in high school, and there was a big write-up in the Post, and, you know, Phil Mushnick, that douche, he doesn't like anything wrestling, really. First of all, I don't even know how he's a sports fan. The guy shits on everything, but that's another story.
Wait, was that the dude that Dr. D hit?
No. He hit the Channel 7 news anchor guy.
What the hell was that guy's name?
Oh, we gotta.
Watching that too,
dude. I saw that recently.
Yeah,
we gotta do a podcast on that. That was fun times.
Actually, it's that kind of ties into that Morton Downey Jr. Show I was watching, because they had the same dude that was claiming that, you know, the promoter, like he wasn't getting any more gigs because promoter was trying to solicit him for sex.
No shit.
Yeah. And he had like this like really bad like 70s hair, even though it was like the 80s, so.
Dude, that's funny. Well, not funny, but I mean, it's funny now, haha, but.
Maybe the next episode or something, we'll tackle all that. Just talk about it.
Yeah, we should talk about it.
That was a big deal, even though, you know, claiming wrestling was fake, you know, was going on for years.
Yeah, but this was not fake, and the promo was. I mean, the promo was fake, obviously. Sergeant Slaughter is far from an Iraqi sympathizer. He's Americana, you know?
He was G.I. Joe for
a little while, yeah. That action figure is going up on the shelf soon, too, by the way, when I pull it out of storage.
I actually got a little story about that, but we'll talk about it once
we'll get to that. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Macho Man was not on the card, sadly.
But he was.
He did issue. There? Yeah, he was the Macho King at this point, and he issued a challenge to then WWF Champion Ultimate Warrior. Ravishing Rick Rude was replaced by Haku.
Yeah.
After being suspended by President Jack Tunney for insulting the Big Boss Man's mama.
You know, who would have thought that would be a suspendable offense?
Jack Tunney was Canadian. What did he know? No disrespect to our friends and neighbors up north, but
you know, he only showed up every so often, and, you know, all of his decisions were bogus, in my opinion.
Now, I agree, actually.
See, I'm right.
You are right. Honestly, only
I was right about Lopez, I'm right about Jack Tunney.
Well, listen, that threw me for a loop, and we'll get into that later, but Jack Tunney, you know, obviously he was an on-air personality. Yeah. In real life, they were the Canadian promoters. They had a territory up north, if you remember, if you read up on it. A very significant impact that his territory made and the working relationship he had with the McMahons.
Yeah. So and whenever they did Canadian shows for WWF, he was the promoter for it.
Right, and they did all this stuff at Maple Leaf Gardens pretty much at that point from the 80s on.
The strange NWA and turnbuckles.
Yeah.
In the ring.
Well, those are old boxing rings anyway, dude. Yeah. Those are old boxing rings that were reinforced, sadly. Surprised those guys aren't crippled. They probably are by now. I'm sure Jose Estrada is fucking bedridden somewhere.
Explains the quality of some of the stuff that we saw in the 80s, too.
WWE Classics just played an entire card from, like, 85.
Really? From Canada? Or?
From the Maple Leaf Gardens. And it was just, like, a third of it was just job matches.
It happens sometimes. But then there would be, like, some, like, awesome ones like that.
Yeah, Stud and Bundy, you were on it. You know, but again, sign of the times, partner. Sign of the times.
Yeah.
Let's get into it now.
Time to survive.
That's right. Can't get my Vince down. I'm a little scratchy today, but I'm a big pre-show guy.
I love. I was extremely happy that you got a copy.
Yeah.
Pre-show.
Yeah.
This one wasn't all that special, but I still love just seeing like the backstories behind everything, and especially, you know, as time goes on. You know, what really happened kind of fades away. You know, like some like dumb shit, like how did the Boss Man turn face? Like I had to dig on YouTube to find the clip on that, and that was just funny enough. It was just some stupid misunderstanding between Slick and the Million Dollar Man. Like they handcuffed Jake the Snake Roberts and were beating the crap out of him. And Million Dollar Man just kind of let it slip during their interview, where he was like, you know, I paid them to do this. And
right.
Boss Man was like, wait a second, nobody paid me off to do this. This is my job.
Right.
What the fuck?
Right.
All the shit that you did all the other time, that was your job?
Now, every time I tell when my wife sees old wrestling or old movies and she finds holes in the plots and in the storylines, she goes, and she does the same thing you just did. And I say to her, well, babe, it was 1990. And she's like, what, people were stupid back in 1990? No, they weren't. But
there's stupid people every year.
There's stupid people every year. That's not going to change.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it was still big character, big time, character based. It was that vibe. People
just wanted to see him fight.
They wanted to see him fight. That was the thing.
You
know, and I'm a firm believer that you could still probably do that to this day. Nobody was in shock when they found out that wrestling was fixed back in like the 50s and 40s.
No.
Like nobody was in shock when you know, people got caught bleeding at a live event.
Yeah.
Nobody was shocked that that the Boss Man had a misunderstanding with Ted DiBiase. Like nobody was shocked. It was like, okay,
miscommunication.
Yeah, miscommunication. Okay, it's time for a face turn. We have a big event coming up.
Yeah.
That's what it was, and I was cool with it. I, you know, again, this was big for me because
a lot of us were just happy that it happened.
Yeah,
too,
high
you know?
School, and I'm a year into cable television. I'm enjoying the viewer's choice pre-show, and I love the pre-show.
Yeah.
I love
the
Sean
countdown.
I love Sean Mooney. I love Sean Mooney because if you live locally in New York and New Jersey, Sean Mooney was the anchor person for a long time on Channel 9 News.
WWOR.
WWOR, yeah. Absolutely, which is still around. It's just, it's now the
like My 9 or
My
whatever.
9 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, from Secaucus, New Jersey, WWOR, Channel 9 News, and Sean Mooney was your evening anchor man.
Yeah.
Until he got a gig doing this. And
then he went back.
Then he went back. He was like, yeah. Okay, I'm done with this. I'll go back there. And Sean Mooney, again, was a cool, cool interview guy. He was a good backstage guy. He did some live events for the MSG network.
He did the Coliseum
home
videos.
He did the Coliseum
home
videos,
super
tapes. Yeah, a lot of your tapes that you gave to me, the copy were on then.
And I wish I still had the old ones, which I sold before we met. But.
But we got a lot of them on video, though.
Yeah, still, a lot of them are on YouTube.
That's
now.
Right. Again, he reminds everybody to call the local cable system and be part of the Thanksgiving tradition.
That was the best part. Like, I would get excited about that.
Because you already
it's like, I need to. Well, that was the funny thing. I don't know why they kept telling us to call.
Because it was free. The preview was always free. Yes. You always got that.
I don't know back then, but, you know.
Yeah.
During the late 90s.
The preview was always free.
Okay.
Well, at that point it was.
Yeah.
And you got, call now, don't forget, you know, and time's running out. And he would, you know, he would go run down to matches. And he announced that it was, all the matches are traditional 4-on-4 elimination. First it was teams of 5 to strive to survive.
Which I miss. I missed the 5.
Yeah, I missed the 5 also.
Yeah. Especially the 10-man tag team.
Oh, that was my favorite. We should do, you know what, we have enough time in the month. Maybe we can rock that episode again.
Just do the tag match. Well, there's only 2 of them, but like they went on for like almost an hour, but they were
fantastic. We could do the whole card, though. I think we still have time in a month to knock that out.
And I haven't seen 87 in a good while. And I really, I like the first two. 89 I wasn't a big fan of, but the first two were excellent.
I think I have that.
And we have the Jumping Bomb Angels on the 87.
Of course we do. It's our favorite tag team.
Yeah.
Our women's tag team anyway. Let's see. Let me just give you real quick. WWF. I have Survivor Series 87 and 88.
Perfect.
Right now in MP format. So
there you go.
So I think we have a...
We got a show.
We got a show. Okay. Moving right along. 4-on-4 elimination style. Now this year is kind of different, Mega Powers. Now what they did, they took the survivors of each match and made a grand finale.
Which is another thing. I don't know why they only did it one year. And
that should have been every single year. Actually, the independent promotions, when they were doing their Survivor Series-style matches, when you go to independent shows back in the day, especially in the late 90s, early 2000s, they did that.
Really?
Yes.
So they were probably just cherry-picking from the indies again.
Well, I mean, again, it was...
Nobody else knew.
When Survivor Series shit the bed by the mid-90s, let's be honest.
Yeah.
By the time it shit the bed... a lot of these organizations, these independents, were just taking matches, which is cool. They had their own War Games matches. They had their own Royal Rumble, Survivor Series matches. Survivor Series should be Survivor Series. Put the two main championships up if they're not involved in an angle.
Yeah.
If not, put them on teams. Let these guys fight. It should all be teams. Give them names again. That was awesome.
It was funny, especially with the amount of pay-per-views that they have now. You know, it's a reasonable request to have a Survivor Series that has Survivor Series matches from start to finish.
So, I watched these things like you a million times.
Yeah.
And now that we have the internet, we dig.
That's why I don't even have any notes.
Well, I took notes. We dig and dig and dig, and I found something that I did not know about this event.
What's that?
Well, that there was a dark match.
Oh, what was that?
It was the franchise, a young franchise, Shane Douglas, taking on the now 400-pound Playboy Buddy Rose. There's no time on it. I don't have a time on it, but he did fight.
Because I only remember Shane Douglas was part of, what was it, Royal Rumble 91, maybe?
Right.
Or 90?
This was right before.
No, it had to be 91.
I think it was 91.
Yeah.
And this was right around the time he was. Did he finish his run with Steamboat and all that when he was the world
champion? No, that was after.
That was after, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and this was right before ECW, obviously.
Yeah.
2 years, 3 years before? All right.
So I think the WCW stuff was like 92, 93.
Yeah, now Wikipedia, 93. Now Wikipedia is really good, but a lot of times it's misconstrued. So
yeah.
I went and dug, and I had two more sites that I referenced, and both of them confirmed with Wikipedia that there was a dog match.
Awesome.
So Playboy Buddy Rose.
If only it was a Jobbers
Survivor
Series dark match.
I'd still like to see it, but
I would love to see that too.
All right. Let's talk about the first match, Dave.
Yes.
The Warriors.
Versus the perfect team.
Man. Yeah, the Warriors was your WWF champion, the Ultimate Warrior, enjoying his nice title run with the Legion of Doom, Hawk and Animal, and Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado.
I thought Kerry Von Erich was the Ultimate Warrior. What the hell, man? Is this just the WWF trying to fool us again?
Was it me, or did Kerry look a little thin? He wasn't as big as he was in Texas in world class. I thought he looked a little thin. Thinner, maybe 20 pounds.
I haven't been dissecting the anatomy of Kerry Von Erich.
When you look at somebody that big for that long, and then you look at another clip of him for another time, it was like almost like, I mean, he still looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
But you could tell there was some kind of significant weight loss.
Mm.
The Von Erichs is another animal. We can do a whole podcast on the Von Erichs. I think we're going to, but
actually, I was reading some posts of this in the secret group, all these wrestling rumors, and you know, it's a rumor. I don't know how true it was, but supposedly the dude had once he had surgery done on his foot, supposedly the dude tried to walk on it to get a cheeseburger and fucking crushed it. But
no shit.
It's a rumor. Don't know how true it is, but supposedly that was the case. But anyway.
Well, who's alive still? Kevin's still alive?
Kevin's still alive.
So we'll ask him. We'll get him on the show.
And the Ultimate Warrior's still alive.
I would love to interview Kevin Von Erich.
Huh.
That'd be interesting. We might be able to work that out.
Well, we'll have you wouldn't to go want through.
To talk? I would love to talk to him, man. Because, you know, it's the whole Von Erich thing was tragic. But
the epitome of tragedy.
It was the epitome of tragedy. Seeing Kerry Von Erich, though, on WWF television, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm a teenager. At that point, I'm
Texas Tornado had the tornado punch.
Yeah, but at that point, I'm so invested in magazines.
Yeah.
That whatever I can look at that's not on my television, I'm totally going crazy for, Dave.
Yeah.
Like, I'm losing my mind.
Because you can't see it.
I can't see it.
You're reading about it.
That's why I loved NWA so much back in the day, because I was like, holy shit. And like, they had the Florida Championship Wrestling on UHF channels. I'm like, you don't watch this all the time.
No.
But then when ESPN would play World Class and they would play AWA, pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that was your team against, like you said, the perfect team, which was Kurt Hennig and all three members of Demolition.
Which I was one thing that I was a bit disappointed while watching this you have all three members of Demolition with the face paint. What happened to the gimp masks that these dudes were rocking before the event?
I actually have the figures. I'm going to put them up after you leave when I start cleaning
with
them.
With the GIMP mask on?
They come with the GIMP mask, yeah.
Or are they just the regular hockey masks?
No, they're like the figures have the mask with the drape behind it.
Because so it was similar to the hockey masks, but...
But the
GIMP masks were actually, like, you know, kind of like lucha masks that they wore.
To make
you know,
it...
Just, but you could... I guess it
you
works.
You could definitely tell them apart because Crush was bigger than the both of them.
Smash hit the tattoo.
And a tan. It was significantly more physique than Bill Eady.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you didn't...
They were clearly obvious despite the masks that completely covered their faces.
I know Demolition was a big copy of my favorite tag team of the whole wide world, the Road Warriors, but I'm not going to lie. I enjoyed Demolition a lot.
So did I. Granted, they weren't the most gifted tag team.
They were pretty sound, though. They tag team wrestling then always had good guys on their teams. Like guys that were established already. You had the
Bill Eady was the mass superstar.
Of course. And of course Barry Darso goes back to Crusher Khrushchev So like they had established guys. Crush was the newer guy, but like, every team had like all these teams had significant role players on them, you know?
Yeah.
The Rockers and the whole nine yards. You had Power and Glory, we'll get into them. We'll get into all those guys that were significant either singles wrestlers or successful tag team wrestlers in other territories. So the first one was Smash getting eliminated by the Ultimate Warrior.
Yes.
With the body splash, right?
Yeah.
And then there was an outside brawl with the LOD and Smash and Crush with double DQ.
But this was kind of huge because everybody knew about Road Warriors, Legion of Doom. And the fact that they were coming to the WWF was insane. And granted, you know, I was like pretty young at that time. I think I was like 6 years old.
Right.
But I'm sure it was on everybody's minds. They wanted Legion of Doom against the Demolition.
That was the build-up, of course. Yeah. I
Summer
wanted
Slam
it.
90.
I wanted
everything.
It.
Everything, yeah.
That was for me, it was the Road Warriors did no wrong.
No.
You know? And when I didn't really appreciate them fully until, like, after high school. Because after high school, the dirt sheets became more available, and the internet was big, and message boards. And, I mean, I adored them.
Yeah.
Everything, they embodied everything that was. And, you know, they weren't great wrestlers.
No, just, by no means.
But they hung with the best teams. You know, they hung with the Andersons and the Horsemans and the Powers of Pain and the Russians. And, I mean, the list goes on and on and on.
And the matches.
Midnight Express. Their matches with the Midnight Express were halfway squashes, but Bob Eaton and Stan Lane made it look good because they were the Road Warriors. And the Road Warriors coming to WWF was a big deal because of their, like you mentioned, their presence. But they were guys that didn't really play well in the sandbox with other guys in the locker room.
No, which is also why the Demolition feud really didn't live up to anybody's expectations. Like, the few matches that they did have were eh. But, you know, we at least got to have, like, this awesome Survivor Series match. And also, was it Saturday night's main event? And also on some Coliseum Home videos, there was the six-man tag, Warrior, LOD.
On Saturday night's main event.
Against the Demolition.
Right.
And those were awesome. Those were fun. But
right.
The actual matches themselves, you know, just...
They weren't bond burners.
No. It was typical LOD, like, hey, we gotta win this one. And, you know, Demolition was on the way out, so those matches weren't all that exciting.
And I'm, again, reading about them and watching the Life and Times when that came out, I was watching that, and, you know, their locker room stuff, like, they didn't... Like, when they were in the AWA, they wouldn't job certain guys, and like they would come out and be like, "We're not going to do the finish," and switch things up and like mess everything up, and Gagne would go crazy. And it happened in Mid-Atlantic too in NWA, but not as often because they were always on top.
Yeah,
but you know they understood the business, and I think Vince bringing them in and marketing them at the time when you could sell the T-shirts and the shoulder pads and the figures and stuff like that was a smart move. So it worked out for them. Moving forward, and then tragedy, of course, with Hawk and stuff falling apart. Animal was hurt for a little
while.
And
they had like a long, long lifespan.
They had a long career.
I'll say this. Do you think, you know, if LLD was a new team, would they get away with the stuff that they got away with back then?
No. And I don't think any team would at this point. It's not like it used to be.
No.
It's basically not. It's more of an entertainment thing.
Yeah.
Like, the LLD weren't out there to entertain you. I mean, they entertain you with their promos and, you know.
To be quite honest, you don't have the same kind of personalities and mentality that you have had back in the 80s.
I agree.
Those kind of people, I don't want to say they don't exist anymore, but they're just not involved in wrestling.
Right.
And if they are, you know, it's not evident.
Right. All right, so moving on to the match. Texas Tornado did eliminate Mr. Perfect, right?
No, Perfect eliminated Texas Tornado.
I'm sorry.
Which was perfect because
set up the whole Warrior
Perfect thing, which was kind of, you know, they feuded very briefly. I think I want to say that there may have been like a Saturday night's main event. I just remember them having some matches like on Coliseum home videos and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, your MSG matches. You know, champion versus champion. Definitely not on the same level as the Hogan, you know, match at WrestleMania 6.
Right.
But they're more or less, they were like squash matches, so.
Yeah.
And, but you at least had like this little exciting brief altercation between them to cap off the Ultimate Warrior moving on to the grand finale match.
Right, so Warrior beats Mr. Perfect, moves on to the finals.
Yes.
And that gives it to
the Soul Survivor.
The Soul Survivor.
They didn't really say that much for this.
Not for this one, no.
But this is a funny thing. I'll mention it now because, you know, we're going to cover it anyway. But all the teams, with the exception of one, were all Soul Survivors.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which was kind of strange because usually there would be like a handful of guys here and there. But we'll get into the details as we move on.
All right. So the next match was the Million Dollar Team. And that was, of course, Ted DiBiase. The god-awful Rhythm and Blues, which was the Honky Tonk Man, and Greg Valentine.
Greg Valentine with the worst Elvis impersonation. That sneer when he comes down the aisle is just hilarious.
It was very entertaining, but terrible tag team. Terrible tag team. And they had a mystery partner.
Yeah.
And they were, we got a mystery partner. And it was like, and we were all at wit's end.
But they announced that that there was going to be a partner.
Right, you know, with the weeks leading up, it was just like nerve wracking.
But do you know who the original partner was?
No, I don't. Let's get into that. Well, who was supposed to be the original partner?
Bad News Brown.
It was Bad News Brown.
Yes, but then that's when he quit the WWF, citing racism.
Oh, that's right. That, you know what, he was involved in that stupid Harlem.
The sewer rat
thing with the snake, right?
Which was like, what was it, a fucking possum
that they spray-painted? They spray-painted one of those petrified possums.
Yeah.
So he didn't like that. He left. And Bad News Brown, to his credit, was a bad dude, man.
Everywhere he went?
Yeah. No, he was a established wrestler. Calgary.
Japan.
Japan, Mid-South. And he was also a... A legit judo champion too.
Yeah, apparently. I think he was also involved with the IUWF?
I believe so. Yeah, but he was well established. So he left citing racism.
Hey, he said that his action figure never came out due to racism.
Whatever. Honestly, they gave fucking SD Jones a figure, and he was a job guy,
and he was black.
And not only was he black, SD Jones was like an NWA tag team champion like 10 years prior to that.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, he was a fucking champion in a couple of territories.
Somebody
in NWA.
Actually gave him a belt?
He was an established wrestler. He was a job guy in WWE, but like, they gave him a figure. They gave Johnny Rods a figure. I own it.
Coco Beware?
He had an LJN. Well, Coco Beware was a mid-card guy. He wasn't a job guy, like Johnny Rods, like SD Jones.
SD Jones has his own LJN figure.
Right.
As a job guy.
And 10 years prior, he was an NWA tag team champion.
Bad News Brown is citing racism. I think the dude just was bad news.
Yeah.
He had an attitude.
Yeah. And you know what? I guess a lot of guys don't like the schedule either, you know?
Well, hey, you know, this is it's wrestling. And just look at some of the personalities, you know, when they're outside of the ring. You know, they're not, you know, they're friendly for autograph sessions. But some of the shit that you hear some of these dudes, some of the shit that I've heard SD Jones do.
He was an NWA America's Tag Champion.
God bless America.
Twice. Three times, I'm sorry.
The man came back three times.
Right. And he was an established guy. Yeah. Trained under Johnny Rod. Maybe that's why he got the action figure, too.
Yeah. But wrestling's a strange business. It's very demanding. It's, you know, shady as shit. We all know that.
It's, you know, and it's less shady now, but it was very, very shady back then.
Oh, yeah.
And when the inmates ran the asylum, it was that kind of party. So,
Ollie Anderson.
Oh, please. That, dude, we have every time we mention something, we have another podcast.
Yeah.
We mentioned Ollie Anderson, the Von
Jim
Erichs.
Barnett soliciting sex from Tommy Rich for a world championship.
Right. We have
sucking that dick for the world belt.
We have Ollie Anderson, the Von Erichs. There's a whole bunch of things we can get into. Every time we... This is why I love doing this podcast, because there's so much crap to cover, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Scandalous.
Very scandalous. Very scandalous Mega Powers. All right, so DiBiase, Rhythm and Blues, and now...
Mystery Partner.
The Mystery Partner. Now, comes out with Brother Love at this point. There's no Paul Bearer yet.
But wait a second. Before we announce who it is, even though everybody knows who it is...
Of course.
You know, you watched the Countdown show. Who did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be like Bam Bam Bigelow or somebody like that. Like, I thought it was going to be somebody from the NWA, like Barry Windham or...
I'm surprised they didn't do it, and I'm surprised you didn't mention it, but just looking at the Countdown show, I thought it would have been Dustin Rhodes.
Not yet.
Because they were beating the hell out of this kid. They were trying bribing him, all that
wasn't
kind of
that,
stuff.
Yeah, but that was before or after this?
No, it was before it. It was on the Countdown show.
Oh, that's right, when he was in the audience.
For the Savage match on
With Dusty, yeah, that was Sweet Sapphires.
Because I'm watching this, and I'm like... It seems like they're actually building it up for possibly Dustin to be.
It would have made perfect sense. Yeah. They may have been. I don't know why, but they needed to bring the Undertaker in. And
yes.
So it was the Undertaker. It was the debut of the Phenom, the Dead Man.
Yeah.
With Brother Love as his manager.
Here's a little trivia for you. Do you know what his name was before he was the Undertaker? What he was wrestling as
in USWA?
No. In WWF on the. Like house show circuit.
He wasn't using his real name, right?
No.
He wasn't me, Mark Callis or Calloway.
It was still the Undertaker gimmick, but it was a different name. I'll give you a little hint. They used it for another gimmick.
The Soul Taker?
No.
That was Papa Shango. Soul Taker was Papa Shango in USWA. I don't know.
They still use it.
They still use it?
Yeah. He was initially Kane the Undertaker.
Kane the Undertaker?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, and you could probably actually pull up some YouTube matches where Finkel announces him. They're like Coliseum home video matches, and he announces him as Kane the Undertaker.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But for his debut, they just settled on the Undertaker, which makes more sense. You know, why add all these like names when you could just simply be the Undertaker?
Yeah. Let's see. He's first a Dead Man. Look at Undertaker's Wikipedia, actually.
Ring aliases.
Ring aliases, right?
Should be on that.
Yeah, it is. Kane the Undertaker. Me, Mark Callis. He was the Punisher. Dice Morgan.
Dice Morgan.
The Master of Pain, the Commando.
Wow.
He's fucking old, dude.
Yeah. How old is he?
48 years old.
Shit.
I think it's time to pack it in there, Double M.
That's always the rumor that, you know, whatever WrestleMania is coming up, that's his last.
Oh, Christ, I'm hoping 30 is his last.
He's still been doing some decent matches. I actually watched the CM Punk match a few nights ago.
It wasn't bad. I was there.
It wasn't all that great, but it was still probably better than most of the event.
Right.
But anyway, back to the event.
Speaking of Undertaker, I'm hearing Sheamus wants to fight him for 30. How do you feel about that?
I don't care.
You don't care at all?
Nah.
Like if they give Sheamus, because Sheamus is due back by the Rumble.
Because I look at it this way, you know, the man wrestles once a year. You know, make it something special. Stop bullshitting with these like, you know, granted Sheamus is, you know, he's an established guy at this point.
Right.
But I also don't feel that he's, like, the guy or somebody worth, you know, throwing at him.
All right.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, it's the Undertaker's decision, too. You know, he's been around long enough, you know. Granted, what doesn't make sense to us makes sense to these guys because they...
Of course.
Because they're working with each other all the time.
They're not catering to us anyway. They're not catering to the older fan anymore.
A lot of times when you see guys, well, even back in the day, you know, when you see guys, you know, the fans are like, why is this guy, you know, wearing this belt or why is he getting this opportunity? And it's like, it's all backstage. You know, maybe he's, you know, doing things, you know, whether it's shady or whether it's, you know, on the up and up that makes sense to the boys. But, you know, to the fans, it's kind of like, you know, what's up with this guy? You know, they see the potential. They've been around longer than we have. You know, they go through this day in and day out. So, you know, maybe Sheamus is a good idea, but for me right now, I that's not something that I want to pay for or even sit down and watch on YouTube.
So let me ask you something, and I'm glad you brought that up. If they bring him back by, like, let's say the Rumble.
Uh-huh.
Now you have 3 months. The road to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If they push him, I mean Sheamus,
uh-huh,
as this bad ass. Like, let's say he even, like, wins the Rumble.
Uh-huh.
And, like, instead of taking the title shot, he calls out Taker.
Uh-huh.
And, like, gets this big momentum push as, like, a heel. Even not even as a heel. It's just a regular, as a tweener, I guess, or whatever you want to call him.
Yeah.
Would you be interested?
It's kind of hard to say. You know, WWE, over the years, have tried to build people, you know, back up. You know, I remember with Big Show, when they brought him back, you know, one of the several times he's been back, I think it was like a SmackDown or something, like, he just cleared the entire ring.
Right.
Just knocked out all these guys. Looked like that scene from Gone with the Wind, all these, like, dead soldiers on the floor. Like,
I remember that.
I thought that was cool, but it didn't get me back into Big Show. So, you know, I can't, you know, anything's possible in the world of wrestling entertainment.
Yeah,
but, you know, I can't say until I see it. Yeah.
I'd rather somebody like him instead of bringing back a fossil like Austin or try to, like, recreate some shit like you've never seen that before. Like, you know, at least Punk made it interesting. They didn't fight Triple H for a seventh time. You know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of thing. So, all right. We're getting off track. I just wanted to just cover The Undertaker for a few minutes, but...
Well, this was pretty much, like, the big thing about this match. It wasn't... Granted, it really wasn't anything special. They were rehashing the shitty Rhythm and Blues Heart Foundation feud from WrestleMania 5.
Yeah, but Dusty's team was...
Or WrestleMania 6, really.
Dusty's team was even shittier.
Not only that, but, you know, the focus was supposed to be on Million Dollar Man's feud with...
With Dusty.
With Dusty.
Right.
Which you could kind of tell that, you know, Dusty was on the way out because they were just jobbing him left and right. And Undertaker, you know, got the pinfall on Dusty. Well, which kind of makes sense because, you know, they're bringing in this mystery partner who more or less he's supposed to be kind of like the hitman.
Right.
Who's, you know, his purpose there is to fuck up Rhodes' team and, you know, fuck up Rhodes. And that's exactly what he did. And he got the pinfall on Rhodes and... got counted out as a result of it, and
all right. So
it is what it is.
So it's Coco, Dusty, and the Hart Foundation, right?
Yeah.
Coco was eliminated by Taker, right?
The first man on television to get the tombstone.
Right. Was Coco good for him? Honky Tonk Man was eliminated by the Anvil, and then the Anvil was eliminated by DiBiase.
Yeah.
Rhodes was eliminated by Taker.
Yeah.
And then Taker was counted out.
Taker was counted out, which was kind of strange because I think he tagged out and then he just started beating the shit out of Rhodes.
And
it's like, why is the guy that's not the legal man being counted out? But
whatever. I don't know if he tagged out, though. I don't think he tagged out. I think he just went outside and just started to maul on Dusty and he got counted out.
I got to watch it again. But I remember it was one of those kind of things that kind of stuck out. Unless it was like the something else. I don't know. But anyway.
Greg Valentine was eliminated by the Hitman. And then the Hitman was eliminated by Ted DiBiase, making DiBiase the sole survivor.
And I'll go on record. I don't really say too many good things about Bret Hart. But there was actually a nice little, like, sequence there. What was it? Like, you know, Million Dollar Man whips him into the ropes.
Yeah.
You know, he, you know, falls to the ground. And, you know, I got to praise these guys for this because I very rarely see it happen. But, you know, the purpose of when a guy drops down to the mat when the Irish whip somebody is to trip the dude. And usually the dude just, like, you know, just walks right over him. This time, like, Hitman took the bait, supposedly took the bait.
Right.
You know, and played to the fact that, you know, he tripped and hurt himself. You know, DiBiase, started, you know, celebrating prematurely, and Bret Hart got like a roll up on him. Granted, it wasn't successful, but yeah, I appreciate those little like sequences like that when, you know, guys play around, and it's just like something out of the ordinary. Because I'll say this about this Survivor Series: one of the reasons why it's my favorite Survivor Series, because it's probably one of the shortest ones, and you know, this was, you know, kind of like in the heart of the golden era,
right,
of the WWF. You know, meaning a lot of these dudes, you know, weren't the best wrestlers, but they were like the best performers. And they just kept to, you know, stuck to the script. They didn't, you know, fuck around. They made the matches entertaining. These are, you know, I love going back and watching this Survivor Series because they just do what they're supposed to do. They play to the crowd. They make the matches go, the matches have an awesome flow to it. You get your story and you move on.
And again, you hit the nail on the head. Very entertaining, which is why it's always cool to go back and watch it.
Yeah.
There's nothing that makes me happier than watching this stuff because
absolutely,
it's just everybody here was a main player, either there or somewhere else.
They were in a storyline one way or another, with the exception of Coco Beware. I don't know what
that Coco was always the fill-in guy for the face teams.
Yeah.
Again, mid-Carter.
Yeah.
Very worthy of an action figure.
Uh-huh.
Honestly.
Everybody loved him. I'll say this. I can't recall the guy winning a match ever.
No, he was. He had an established tag team after that. He was in the
High Energy.
The High Energy, yeah.
But that was years later. But this was like his prime.
Well, yeah.
But people accepted him as, you know, one of the top guys.
Again, he was entertaining. He had the whole bird thing going on, yeah. And he was very instrumental doing the music,
yes,
with Jim Johnson with the pile driver thing, yeah. And he could sing. He was entertaining. He was one of those guys that can actually wrestle.
Yeah.
And perform. It's
had an awesome top rope drop kick.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that drop kick
he
had.
The Ghostbuster.
Yeah, and then the Ghostbuster, which was one of the best moves ever. It was a brainbuster. Same thing, but
yeah, but still, you didn't really see guys do like a legit brainbuster.
And you know how I feel about Dusty.
Yeah.
Like Dusty is the epitome of performer.
Yeah.
He's a legend and.
A robot took his job.
That's right. When the tech stopped working, don't get me started.
They gave him a watch.
That's right. Pat him on the back and say, that's your job. Never mind.
That's hard time. Anyway.
But Dusty accepted his role in his place at that time.
He did fucking awesome job.
He was, I mean, for me as a 15-year-old, seeing him in fucking polka dots was disturbing after watching him bloody himself with Harley Race and Ric Flair, and
he was a legit top guy. People took him seriously, and now he's
just a common man. He's the
delivering pizzas with the Sharpie markered pizza written on a plain T-shirt.
Yeah, fixing plumbing, you know, fixing stuff.
Talk about doo doo and how it's good for you.
That's good for you, baby. Those vignettes were fantastic. Again, though, me being a teenager, going, I was mind blown.
Yeah.
Like, legit, I was like, I can't. Like, he was my hero. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, this is Dusty Rhodes?
Yeah.
And, like, you knew, like, he wasn't getting any belts. And
no.
And he had top feuds. Ironically, though, had top feuds with all the top heels. DiBiase, Savage.
No,
again, all top guys in the company.
Yeah.
So not only did he was appreciated. And I appreciate this.
And I remember seeing his folder at the Caldor when I was still.
Caldor! Dude, funny you say Caldor. I went to my wife's uncle's house to get like all these Christmas decorations, as you see in my front room. My house just threw up Christmas. And in about 2 weeks, it's all going to be Christmas. And one of the boxes had a Bradley's sticker on it.
Shit.
So Bradley's, Caldor, they were all on the same mall strip. I'm like, oh, I feel so old, man.
Dude.
You remember seeing that folder, huh, in the Caldor?
I remember it was either a Bradley's or a Caldor, but I wanted to say Caldor because it sounds like some like really shitty alien from the future.
I bought the fold. I was in high school. I kept that stuff in my bag, and
I had the bed sheets. I had the Hulk Hogan lunchbox. I had the stupid painter's hat that I didn't wear because I was embarrassed even as a kid to own it, but I thought it was cool.
No, my biggest regret was not getting the Four Horsemen satin jacket that was in the back of the PWI magazine.
Wow,
that was like
they actually sold that.
Yeah, they did sell it. Disgusting, but I got an Andre the Giant mug I'm putting up there. It's like this big, but I'm putting that
fit
up
for a giant.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that up here and on the shelf for a little while. But anyway, All right, let's go to the next match.
Yeah.
The Visionaries. Another bunch of entertaining guys.
I love that name. That, like, as much as I hated those guys when I was a kid, still kind of hate them.
Well, that was a play on what happened to Jake, which I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Perfect, though. You know what I'm saying? Mm. All these teams, I love the team names. Best concept ever. That's arguably their best work as an organization.
Yeah, and I know a lot of... To get into the future a little bit, I know people shit on the blindfold match, but I love the blindfold match.
Again, me and Tony and I from Shining Wizards go back and forth with it. Again, it was like, Tony, like, the more I watch it, the more I appreciate it. I'm just like, oh. I understand the entertainment value.
Yeah.
I just disagree.
Well, let's get a little bit into the backstory so people know what we're talking about. All right,
the Visionaries are fighting the Vipers. Visionaries are the Warlord, more famously from the Powers of Pain.
Yep.
Now he's a singles competitor. Rick Martel, very well-established professional wrestler at this point, former world champion, former tag team champion.
The best.
One of the best ever, actually.
The model.
Right, the model Rick Martel.
You know you're a real man when you talk about the model Rick Martel.
Absolutely. And, of course, Power and Glory. Jim Powers and the Mighty Hercules.
No, it was...
Paul Roma and Hercules.
Romeo Roma.
Roma was part of the... With Jim Powers, they were the Young Stallions. And, of course, you had the Vipers. Jake Roberts, Jimmy Snuka, and the Rockers. Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. The backstory is Jake Roberts was blinded by Rick Martel. Rick Martel had the fragrance called Arrogance, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he had this one of those big spray things that you spray your plants with. I didn't know Rick Martel was a big botanist at this point.
Yeah, I don't even, like, when I saw that as a kid, like, I didn't know what the fuck that was.
So he would come out and spray the crowd with this mist.
Because they smelled. The fans smelled. Look at the
fans were terrible, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Look at them back then. They were pigs.
Wow. Days on fly this episode, by the way. So he blinds him on the Brother Love Show.
Yes.
Sprays him in the eyes. And Jake, to his credit, sold it so well that he actually put contacts...
It was like
in his eyes to make him look like he was legitimately blind.
You know, he even sold it so good. He came back on the Brother Love Show wearing this ugly sweater
with the walking stick.
So you knew if he was wearing this Bill Cosby sweater, this guy couldn't see.
Dude, yeah, and
but I'll say this: like when I was a kid, like I had like a very small knowledge of, you know, when people's vision goes, like, really shitty. Like, they do kind of develop that, like, film over their eyes.
It's called glaucoma.
There you go.
Right.
And you could kind of see, like, his eye coming through.
The contact. Like
the retina coming through the contact.
But for 1990, and that's not very unlike, that's not very, it was so lifelike because there were certain people that get that vision problem, and they still have a piece of their retina that's still visible.
Yeah.
Sometimes the film doesn't cover the entire retina.
Yeah.
So, again, he sold it so good, man.
And this was like a old, you know, wrestling, you know, storyline technique, and they made it brand new.
And, of course, ECW replicated 3 years later.
Yes.
With the Sandman. Absolutely. Sandman stayed home and sold it. You guys all know the story.
Fans ate it up.
And he went out in public like that, went to the supermarket like that with the walking stick and everywhere. The whole nine. Good for him.
Yeah.
And that's the way, not to break kayfabe, and that's the way it should be still to this day. But I'm like, but I digress.
Yeah.
Right?
Tony.
Right, exactly. Okay, so Jannetty was eliminated by the Warlord.
Yeah.
Warlord was so stiff, man. He was a terrible singles wrestler.
Yeah, I loved him in the Powers of Pain.
Me too.
I got to say this, you know, I was never a big fan of Barbarian or Warlord. Only time I appreciated those guys were when they were in the Powers of Pain and when, you know, Barbarian, even the same thing for Haku. I wasn't a big Haku guy, but when they did Faces of Fear in WCW.
That was pretty cool.
They were cool. They had some great matches.
Yeah, and they're all related to those Samoan guys. That lineage is
all
ridiculous.
Butt fucking each other.
Well, I didn't say
producing
that.
Producing.
It's terrible.
Men somehow, like
you're
the movie Junior Arnold Schwarzenegger.
We need that bell. That bell will be in studio next episode. Snuka was eliminated by Martel. Snuka at this point still looked good.
He looked awesome. Like what the fuck?
Apparently, my buddy Jay wrestled him a few years later in Johnny's school,
uh-huh.
Right? And said Snuka was like a chain smoker.
We both saw him at Legends of the Ring. I every time that I walked out to get something from my car or
he was
whatever,
smoking a cigarette.
He was smoking a cigarette. He was just hanging.
Brother.
What's up? Okay, but I was like, that was fucking cool that he came up to us.
And just shook our hands?
Yeah.
Like, stopped whatever he was doing. That was like the highlight.
Stopped killing his other girlfriend and came over. Yeah, what is this guy doing? Is he like drinking the blood of these women so he can stay young like that?
I think Snuka is a vampire.
Yeah.
I think.
Because this was, you know.
That or a cyborg.
His prime was over and done with, but this guy was looking phenomenal in 1990.
Right. So Snuka was eliminated by
Martel.
Drinking
the blood of his ex-girlfriends.
The blood of his ex-women.
His dead girlfriends.
Shawn Michaels.
That's going to be a show. We're going to talk.
The Snuka thing?
We're going to do some conspiracy theories.
Really?
Yeah. We should do that.
Wrestling conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
So the Von Erich thing.
Prove that Chris Benoit did not kill his family.
Oh, here we go. All right. We'll do a conspiracy theory episode. That's all. You got to come up with like worthy material, though.
Yeah.
All right. So Snuka gets eliminated by Martel. Michaels gets eliminated by Paul Roma.
With the, what was it? The Powerplex.
The Powerplex, yep.
I'll say this. I hated Power and Glory. I thought they were a worthless-ass team. But that Powerplex was awesome.
That was awesome. Again, it gave Hercules some life, too, you know?
Yeah.
Because he was going nowhere after being sold as a slave.
Apparently the freedom thing didn't work out.
No, not at all. Freedom was not good, was not kind to the mighty Hercules Hernandez.
Yeah. Well, I guess it worked out for Million Dollar Man.
It did.
He got that dead weight off his back.
That dude had a lot of people on his payroll. Who are you fooling?
I want to say this, and I had this, you know, I was thinking about this when I was watching it last night. You know, Million Dollar Man, like, I don't know how that guy continued being a millionaire because he squandered his money on some, like, worthless-ass talent over the years. Yeah. Nikolai Volkov, come on.
Yeah, well.
Rhythm and Blues, you know those guys were paid off. And he was probably bringing them to, like, some sweet-ass spots. Like, dude, Rhythm and Blues, come on.
It's like, can we get the Powers of Pain back together? No.
Yeah.
No. Who's available? Virgil's like, Virgil's got the list. Yeah. Virgil's in the limo with the list going, I don't know, boss. Look at here. I think we got the Rhythm and Blues. Really? Like, you couldn't get...
Paying for the shitty hair dye?
You couldn't get the Orient Express? No, they're on the other team. I'm like, oh.
They were only good when they were facing the Rockers. So.
Dude, I love the Orient Express. We'll get into them in a minute. But yeah. All right. So, and then Jake the Snake Roberts was counted out.
Which leaves the Visionaries as a complete team, the first team in Survivor Series history to win as an entire team.
So they win the entire thing.
So they're going on to the Soul Survivors Grand Finale match.
That's right.
With the Million Dollar Man.
With the Million Dollar Man. Now, your next one was the Hulkamaniacs. Hogan's worst team, by the way.
Didn't they take a break? There was like some strange intermission.
There's always an intermission. Do you want to take a break? Or you...
No. I'm just saying that for me, watching the original pay-per-view, they actually like took some like strange intermission break. Like the screen just had the logo, and it said Survivor Series will return in, you know, however many seconds. And I was like, huh.
Yeah,
didn't know that.
They didn't do a whole lot of during intermission at all.
Oh, there's one thing that I do want to bring up that Go I right thought ahead. Was... Absolutely awesome that I saw. They were hyping up for the following day, the main event match, Ultimate Warrior defending against Million Dollar Man for the world title.
Yeah,
claiming Million Dollar Man was the number one contender.
Saturday night's main event.
No, it was just the main event. The Friday night.
Yep. Yeah, that was Channel 4 special.
Yeah, NBC.
Yeah, NBC. Right. Okay. I remember that. Okay.
I thought that was pretty cool that they were advertising for that and. Claiming that Million Dollar Man was the number one contender.
Right. So now we're back from the intermission.
Yeah.
The Hulkamaniacs consist of Hulk Hogan, Jim Duggan, the Boss Man, and Tugboat.
You know, I got to say, as much as I love Hulk Hogan,
this is his worst team.
The character Hulk Hogan, I could give two shits about the human being.
Right. Yeah.
But I think like 89 and 90. Probably had to be some of like the worst matches, worst teams that I've ever seen in my life. It was just kind of like, well, I wonder.
Did they bring the gobbledygooker out before this or after this?
That was before the Soul Survivors match, the grand finale.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll get into that in a second. Okay,
that's coming up.
Okay,
we haven't forgotten.
Okay, so I forgot to write that down. So I just
Hulk Hogan's buddies match.
Hulk Hogan's buddies,
The people that Hulk Hogan likes to hang out with and body slam.
Right, these are the guys he hangs out in Hooters with, you know.
Yeah.
Against the Natural Disasters, which is Earthquake, Haku, God bless you, Dino Bravo and the Barbarian.
And I'll go on record saying Dino Bravo is the worst wrestler in my opinion. I hate this guy.
Really?
Whenever I see him on TV.
Worse than the Barbarian? The Barbarian is the shits, dude.
Hey, we just talked about
the Warlord. I'm sorry, the Warlord.
Warlord is pretty bad, but he's not as bad as Dino Bravo.
Dino Bravo's worse than the Warlord?
Yeah.
I disagree.
You know, out of all humanity, he's one of those kind of guys that, you know, I wish they would have had that drive-by during the survivor.
Oh, Dave, come on, man.
Please, God, why didn't you get him during this match?
You're out of control. I disagree.
Even before his career started, I never want to see Dino Bravo match ever. You know,
I like Dino Bravo. I didn't care
about that bogus powerlifting thing that they did at the first Rumble.
He was a badass, though, dude, like 10 years prior. Like, it's just the lineage. Again, he was a better big man than, let's say, the Warlord, you know, than Earthquake, for Christ. Tugboat, Jesus Christ, on a cracker, you know? But anyway, hey, all right, we disagree. All right, yeah. Either way. So
we're not here to agree about everything, Tony.
No, exactly. You're right. You're right, man. I'm sorry. All right. So Haku eliminated by the Boss Man, right?
Yep.
Duggan was DQ'd, of course, after hitting Earthquake with
Real American there, hitting Earthquake with the yellow ribbons, 2x4.
Yeah.
Take that, troops. Somebody to really look up to, huh, kids.
Dino Bravo was eliminated by Hulk Hogan. Bossman was eliminated by Earthquake. Tugboat and Earthquake had a double. They had a little bit of a history, so they brawled to a double count out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Hogan eliminates the Barbarian.
Surprise, surprise.
Making him the sole survivor. Before we get into the last match before the last of the regular matches,
yeah,
I just want to talk about Roddy Piper for a second before I forget.
I don't know what you're going to talk about, but I'm glad you're bringing him up.
I didn't like him as a face commentator. I loved his enthusiasm. Of course, Piper is very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
I would have liked him better as a heel commentator.
You know, that's not what I was going to bring up, but...
But, yeah, go ahead.
The fact that you bring that up is kind of interesting. Because there was, like, a few times where he would say things that were heelish during those
Right, because, I mean, that was his M.O. for so long, but, like...
There would be, like, sprinklings of... Heelist.
But he was so biased. Like, he would root for the good guys all the time. Like, come on, Hogan, get up.
Well, we'll be getting into that when we talk about the gobbledygooker. But
okay, so.
But one thing that I do want to bring up that, you know, for me I felt was a positive was, like, he just had this boundless energy, probably from all the cocaine that he was snorting.
Pretty much. Well, no, like, he was fantastic. I mean, honestly, and people give Jerry Lawler a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Jerry Lawler. But if I had to replace him right now,
you wouldn't really have anybody to.
I'd give him Piper. Because Piper can still be that guy.
He can still talk. He's still got boundless energy.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, he still has. He does a podcast.
Really?
He's knowledgeable about the business. The Rod Pod. Yeah, it's not terrible. But he does. Like, he's still relevant.
Hmm.
You know, he would
still doing commercials.
Right, he would be a decent contribution to a very bad commentating team of Michael Cole, Jerry Lawler, and JBL. You know,
bring back a lot of old fans just to hear him talk on commentary.
You sell me on it. I'm a big fan of Piper.
Yeah, but that's one of the things. You know, what makes a great commentating team is, you know, people that have energy. Well, first of all, people that you want to hear talk. But you want them to have that energy when it's like the shittiest thing that's going on. They just run with it anyway.
Right.
You know, they get you through those tough times.
They do. And Piper being no different. Okay, so your next match, unless you want to talk about Piper also. Or...
No, I don't really have anything more to say about Piper.
Okay. The Alliance, which was Nikolai Volkoff, Chico Santana.
Yes.
And the Awful Bushwhackers, which...
All non-Americans.
The Alliance.
The Alliance.
Makes perfect sense. Again, the Bushwhackers, I looked at them the same way I looked at Dusty Rhodes, because they were the sheep herders. They were the brutal, beating up, bloody, bludgeoning people.
Original hardcore.
Yeah, like, again, this is me being 15 years old going, I can't believe they're chewing on hats and licking people's faces.
Yeah.
And then, like, they just came from... beating up people. Like, they would bloody people. Yeah. You know,
they wrestled in Puerto Rico, for God's sakes.
Puerto Rico.
Nobody in their right mind wants to wrestle in Puerto Rico.
Anyway, their opponents were the Mercenaries, Sergeant Slaughter, Boris Zhukov, the Orient Express, Sato and Tanaka.
Professor Tanaka.
No.
Professor Tanaka was
Toru Tanaka from the 70s.
Yeah, that was way
Pat
back.
Tanaka was with Sato, who was Paul Diamond on the Ramask, and they were the Bad Company.
No, Paul Diamond was another dude. He came later.
No, that was
Paul. Paul Diamond was a white guy.
I know Paul Diamond was a white guy. That was Paul Diamond. I thought Paul Diamond and Pat Tanaka were in the Orient Express.
No, it was...
Are you sure about that?
What the hell is it? It was the guy with the beard.
What guy with the beard?
Go check out Wikipedia.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember there was Tanaka and I think it was Saito.
That is Saito. That's what I'm talking about. That's the guy, Saito. Yeah, dude.
Let's find out the mystery. Who's the man behind the beard?
I'm telling you.
Because there was the guy with the mask.
Right.
And there was the guy with the beard.
The guy with the beard was not the guy in the mask, though.
Yeah, but the guy with the beard was in this Survivor Series.
Right. So you're right. You're absolutely right. Okay,
yeah,
so...
I'm always right.
Pat Tanaka was, let's see, they were known as Orient Express.
Some other Japanese guy. Some other Jap.
Was Kato.
Kato.
So Akio Sato was the guy with the beard.
Yeah, Sato.
And Kato was Paul Diamond. Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I was half right. I just did, but this time it was Akio Sato,
yeah,
who was a legit badass. Akio Sato.
Both men hiding behind something.
Yeah, Akio Sato, real quick, was he was
so All Japan or New Japan? Or?
He was in the old JPW.
All Japan.
The old Japan. He was NWA Central States champion. Mm-hmm. He was he held their version of the World Tag Team titles. So again,
was he the ramen eating champion of the world too?
No, he feud with like Dick Murdoch, Blackjack Mulligan, you know, whatever. Okay, so Orient Express, and then let's see, Zhukov was eliminated by Chico, right?
Thank God. I was never a big Zhukov fan. I enjoyed the Bolsheviks to a degree, but I was kind of pissed that they pinned the Bulldogs in like a 4-minute match.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is while they were on their way out.
They were on their way out anyway.
But still, even if it's like a match can't find anywhere.
That irritated.
The fact that it happened.
That irritated me. Yeah, I saw that in the garden too. They squashed them. Let's see. Where was I?
No, shame on you, Bolsheviks. Shame on you, WWF. I'm wagging the finger right at you guys.
They just, you know what? They at the time they just needed to put guys over to put them over as a heel team, and sadly, if you were on your way out, that's how you got booked.
Yeah.
How many times?
Dusty Rhodes.
How many times have you seen guys get beat when they really weren't supposed to get beat?
You know, it even kind of bothers me to this day. You know, I'm not the biggest RVD fan, but when they ended his WWE run with Orton doing the DDT to him,
yeah,
like completely knocking him out, I was just kind of like, I know it's helping Orton. You know, Orton, obviously, he's, in my opinion, I enjoy Orton. He's a top guy, you know, worth it. But to do that to RVD, that was cold, brother. That was cold.
I agree. Totally agree. But this happens all the time.
Yeah.
Guys on the way out.
It's just how it goes, passage of time.
Right. Sato eliminated by Butch. Tanaka was eliminated by Chico. Volkov was eliminated by Sarge. Now, Sarge did a lot of the eliminating at this point.
Yeah.
Sarge took out Volkov. He took out Luke. He took out Butch.
That face paint looking like he put poop all over his face.
Addie.
Maybe he's puke. Maybe he's the original Dingle Warrior, not Matt.
Oh, Christ on a cracker. All right. Slaughter then gets DQ'd after General Adnan, who was Sheik Anan Casey from the old Texas days.
Yeah.
With DQ when General Adnan hit Chico with the Iraqi flag.
You know, he had it coming. But, I wanted to bring up just a real quick story about Slaughter.
Good.
You know, I was fortunate that a friend of mine hooked me up with a New York Comic Con pass for like the last day, like some, you know, friend of his.
You went to Comic Con this year?
Like the last day. It was like really
Sunday,
like,
yeah.
It was like really like last minute.
Okay.
I think they sent me like a message like 11 a.m. or something like that. So
awesome.
So I ran out, and one of my friends there was like a he's a pretty huge wrestling fan, and he has like mint condition Iraqi money with Saddam Hussein on it.
Oh, Jesus.
And he brought it to Slaughter to have it signed. And he signed it. I'll post up a photo of it. He wrote, like, "Long live the slime." And then he wrote Sergeant Slaughter on it, which I thought was awesome. The fact that anybody even has, like, mint condition,
you know, Iraqi currency?
Iraqi Saddam Hussein money.
Savage. So, savages. Oh, that's interesting.
And he also had some sort of like pass that allows him to get into Iraq whenever he wants to. So,
why?
Well, maybe he's an Iraqi sympathizer. These are the people that I hang out with.
I was going to say, no, I'm not judging. I'm just like, I don't understand
how
why.
How dare you judge my friends like that?
I don't know why you'd want to go there right now. They hate us.
Hey, maybe there's some good vacation spots. Maybe us white folks get treated better over there.
Oh, Jesus. I don't think so.
They think they were rich. I don't know.
Yeah, their country is now a parking lot because we blew.
There's got to be some sort of like paradise, you know, kind of like resorts.
I don't think they would make. Things. I don't think they would allow us to go anywhere near their
like the oasis.
Vacation.
Yeah, the oasis in the desert.
I seriously doubt anybody from that country would let us vacation there at all.
You know, this is like
no matter what kind of pass that your friend has.
It's like some sort of like Casablanca, you know, Rick's Cafe or whatever.
You better have like Arab money, your friend. You better have like a lot of that currency going on over there. You better have a tanker of oil with him too. So, all right. So now, before we get into the grand finale match, grand finale match of survival, I should say, is what they were calling it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the gobbledygook.
Hey, if you want to play that little clip that I sent you.
Which one? The first one? Or
both of them.
One you want to play first?
Let's talk about it first a little bit because there was a lot of hype.
Which one do you want me to bring up first before what we're talking? The first one or the second one?
Let's talk about the egg first and then get into these clips that I sent you. Because there was this egg, you know, just kind of hanging around, you know, week after week. You know, what the fuck is this egg? You know, they were all these speculations. They had some, like, dumbass ones. Like, some people thought a dinosaur was going to be in there.
Yeah, dinosaur.
Dinosaurs are dead.
Yeah, well, there was a
dinosaur. Why would WWE be holding on to a dinosaur for this long?
There was a dinosaur sitcom at the time.
I think that was, like, a little bit later. I think that was, like, 92, maybe.
Was it really?
Dinosaurs.
But they were big into, like.
Not the mama.
Yeah, but dinosaurs were making, like, a resurgence. Like in pop culture, so that's what people were thinking. Like you know, they'll bring about the Godzilla movies and shit like that. Everything was like remastered now. And
there's that awful song, "Everybody Do the Dinosaur,"
walking the dog, get on the floor, everybody do the dinosaur, right?
Yeah,
right.
I ain't doing that.
I'm not. I never did, and I can cut a rug, my friend.
Yeah,
just saying. So this egg, which again, I'm a teenager, so I'm like, this is terrible. What in the Sam hell is going to come out of here? All right. It's not Kerry's crushed foot. It's not.
It's not the Playboy Playmate.
It's not It could have been Playboy Buddy Rose. He was 4,000 pounds at that point.
Yeah, actually, I think that would have been a better.
That would have been fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
Give him the mask.
Wearing a diaper.
Like Baby Yui and shit. Baby New Year and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. So this egg and, like, God bless Gorilla Monsoon. Rest his soul.
And Piper, too.
And Piper.
Piper
sold this like he was selling life insurance. Like he at this point, he could have sold soul to a slug.
Yeah.
He could have sold an Eskimo a pair of ice skates.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how crazy this was. So the egg finally breaks.
It's been incubating.
It's been incubating on sound stages all over North America, all over the Northeast.
Yeah.
All the way from Hartford to Boston to Toronto to Madison Square Garden to the Nassau Coliseum.
To London and France.
To London and France. And
Pat Patterson's underpants.
And Pat Patterson's backyard. Because you know he probably slept with it before they opened it.
You know, God knows what these wrestlers were doing with this fucking egg before.
Dude, can you imagine the guys in the ball going, I can't wait to see their faces tomorrow when the egg cracks.
Yeah.
And I can see Tugboat going, brother, it's going to be so funny. These guys were probably all like
I see just his stupid sailor hat.
Dude. I don't have a soundboard, guys. I'm sorry.
But we'll hear it in that little clip I sent. But anyway, but
you want to play the clip, or you want to? So the egg opens.
The egg opens. The crowd erupts in booze.
Yeah, it was like, what the hell is this shit? It was a man dressed as a turkey.
Yes, with like the most stupidest looking golf ball eyes, and making these gobbledygook sounds. Hence the
now the gobbledygook moniker. Sounds. Like, you make it seem like there's an actual an animal that the North American gobbledygook. They're in Maine. They're in Hartford. They're in Hartford. They're in New Hampshire. They're in all over the New England region. No. So who is the gobbledygooker? It's Terry.
We already said it already. So.
Wasn't it Terry Taylor?
It was Hector Guerrero.
It was Hector Guerrero.
Yeah.
But didn't Terry Taylor put that suit on too? For a little while?
Yeah, he was the Red Rooster. He was already...
So it was always Hector Guerrero.
He was already being a dick, a cock or whatever.
All right, so Dave pulled up some clips, and we're going to play some clips for
and
him.
This was after Survivor Series. They were trying to hold on to this.
They were trying to hold on to this
for
shit.
For dear life.
Right, exactly. So let's play this real quick.
Oh, my God, alert! Can you believe our new feathered friend, the gobbledygook, isn't he a bloody beaut?
Oh, Cousin Butch, all the little wackaroos will love him.
They're kissing each other.
Wait a second. Wait. I'm paused. Wait a second. Now, what you don't see, Dave is going to put this on the Facebook page, both of them, later on.
Oh, yeah.
I promise you. What you don't see now is the second clip of the gobbledygooker dancing with Tony Atlas, who's now the African prince Samba Simba. This is what we don't see.
Who even Piper called out as Tony Atlas.
Right, Tony, yeah. So
on a broadcast.
Let's continue, shall we?
Yes.
Gobbledygooker, why don't you show me some of that dancing you do? Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, I'll never dance like you, but I can do this. How about you? Come on.
Terrible.
Tugboat.
That was Tugboat.
If you didn't know by that.
Yeah. And now this is why Kogo got an action figure for shit like this.
Everybody, and get up off your feet. Come on, gobbledygooker, and do the bird with me. I said bird, bird, bird. Bird, bird, bird. Bird, bird, bird. Bird, bird, bird.
Earning his paycheck right there. Kogo, beware.
Right. So.
But didn't Gooker have an action figure? Didn't they pull one out?
I don't think so.
Unless somebody made one.
We can have one made. We have a shout out to the Custom Hasbro guys out in England.
Oh.
They make everything, those guys. They make action figures.
Well, we'll
have to. So if you want a gobbledygooker, I can definitely make that happen for you. Now, so Hector Guerrero was the gobbledygooker. And he was this recent, this interview? No.
It was at the Legends of the Ring. I don't know which one.
Not this one. Had to be Bill Apter still.
He's always there, so.
Shout out to Bill Apter, by the way.
No, I think this had to be previous because in the beginning of this interview, Hector Guerrero brings up TNA and how he's a commentator for TNA.
This is only like under 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So let's go to the interview right now with Bill Apter. And
we'll have to skip through some of this because there's. He's just talking about TNA.
This is Bill Apter, and talking here with my old friend, Hector Guerrero.
The best Guerrero.
It's great to see you again.
Well, Bill Apter,
he's lying.
It's a pleasure to see you and to talk to you, the fans out there. I mean, it's an awesome thing. Bill, thank you for having me on this
opportunity. Oh, it's a pleasure. Now, what are you doing these days?
I'm a teacher in the elementaries. I teach a phys ed, but I'm also a TNA. I'm on the Spanish team for TNA. So that means
probably pays less than the elementary gig.
Fantastic. Now, right. we passed each other by about 20,000 times this weekend at Legends of the Ring, the convention in New Jersey. And you said to me earlier today, you said, you know something? I want to clear something up.
And you wanted to talk
to everybody about it. What was this about?
Okay, let's talk about the gobbledygooker.
Yeah, and it's near Thanksgiving now, too.
Right,
good time.
So it's not... that I'm brown-nosing to anybody, and this got, for all you critics out there, I'm not brown-nosing to anyone, not even Vince McMahon. And Vince, it's not you to you. But what I'm trying to say is this. The gobbledygooker was a good thing, and the author of that idea deserves to be left alone. That was meant for the kids, not for the media, not for the adults that booed and jeered it and made it what it was and made it possibly saying this one of the worst gimmicks ever. You know what? It wasn't meant for you critics out there. It was meant for the children. And if you can remember that, if you can remember that it was meant for the children, I think you take back every word that you've said. And I'm pretty strong on that because you know what? Because I teach children. I work with children. And you guys need to understand that. It wasn't meant for you. It was meant for the children.
Okay, well, you're very passionate about that.
No, I'm very passionate about it because people have made a mockery of it, have used it as
like
a nail against Vince McMahon, and that's not right. It should have never been done that way. It was a good idea. It was a right idea, maybe at the wrong place and at the wrong time, because I believe it should have been done in Orlando, where the land of fantasy and for the kids, and that's where it is. But it needs to be clarified and be made put in right in history. That idea was not a wrong idea. It was a good idea.
Okay. OneWrestling.com. That is our new friend, Bill Apter.
Yeah.
I want to have him on the show eventually.
But, yeah, there's Hector Guerrero telling it like it is. Like, I've been telling everybody from the start that Goku is a great gimmick.
You're out of control.
It's for the kids, Phil. Why are you arguing about this?
I wasn't really shitting on it. I was 15 years old when this came out. Was I 15? Yeah, like 15, 14, like that.
It's for the kids.
Right, it was for the kids. But when you're a teenager and you want to see something else, or you're the 20 or 30-year-old at home or at ringside with your kid, like, what?
You know, I want to crack open a beer and just watch a black man with a bird come down the aisle and kick some ass.
That never really happened either, but... but all right, so that's the gobbledygooker, and that's a very, very awesome clip that you pulled up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Hector Guerrero got a chance to
say his piece.
To vent his piece about all this nonsense. So
we love you, Hector.
We do love that. We love the Guerrero family. Eddie's anniversary was the other day, man. Sad,
yeah.
Huh? I can't believe it's been that long already. Okay. 8 years so far.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Nah, because the industry sucks a big fatty and nothing good has come of. Right after his death, then 2 years later, you had the Benoit nonsense, and then after that, it's shit the bed since, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we are, the grand finale matchup survival. You have 3 against 5. Dave, why don't you cover this for a second?
Well, one of the things that stood out to me, you know, if you don't know this is 1990, there's like this huge cardboard sign that says, "Hey, homie, Hulk kicks." Which I thought was fucking awesome to see, leading into the 90s. But, you know, this was fucking awesome that they had this Survivors grand finale match. Like, this was, I don't know why they just did it this 1 year. I don't know, for time or, you know, whatever was on their mind. But you had the Visionaries and a complete team with the Million Dollar Man. How many? That's 5 guys.
Right.
Going against 3. Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Chico Santana.
Right. So you had Hogan, Warrior, Chico.
Which I could kind of see this is where maybe where Chico, you know, he always rants and raves that he was owed a bigger push during this time. And I think that may have kind of, you know, that little pairing there may have gotten to his head.
I think them keeping him that long and then even repackaging him as the Matador.
And giving him belts.
They repackaged him with Strikeforce and Can-Am Connection. I mean, listen,
yeah.
Say what you want about Chico, but he was, dude, one of my favorite feuds of all time was him and Morocco and then him and Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
Top 5 favorite feuds involved him twice, you know? So, again, I think a tribute to keeping him on that long.
And even, like, a main event situation
right,
like that.
Right, like stuff like this. So, all right, we'll get right into it. It was Hogan, Chico, and the Warrior against, of course, Martel, the Warlord, and Power and Glory, and Ted DiBiase.
And I didn't mention this with the Mercenaries Alliance match, but I was really happy that match was, like, as quick as it was. It was, like, 10 minutes for a Survivor Series match. It's kind of like almost unheard of. Like, guys were just kind of like being knocked out, like left and right. But this match was like 9 minutes.
The Mercenaries match was.
Like 10 and change?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And
this was a quick Survivor Series.
Every match was under 15 minutes.
Yeah. I think it's like a little over like 2 hours.
Right, it was over two, a little over 2 hours. But then the last match itself was not even 10 minutes. It was like 9 minutes and 7 seconds. Yeah,
which wasn't too bad, you know, concerning.
Considering it was 5-on-3, it was the main event of the card. Yeah,
and you had Hogan and Warrior together. That's like, you know, like the atom bomb of, well, not like the wrestler atom bomb, but like an atom bomb, like just destroying.
Please, no atom bomb. Those footballs were annoying. All right. Yeah. Okay.
You got hit in the eye with one at a house show.
No, but like it was just random people getting smacked in the face at foam footballs, and nobody knows how to carry themselves in these events.
No. So that was probably like the best part of it.
Yeah, I guess it was pretty funny when you think about it.
Yeah.
But okay, so
at least it wasn't a leaping Lanny frisbee hitting you in the face.
I would have rather a frisbee though.
It's like a harder plastic. But anyway.
Yeah, it's just more of a collectible. Yeah. The foam gets crappy and dirty.
And the frisbee had a poem on it. Poem that he was doing that night was on that.
And that was all him, too. He just did Cabana's podcast a few weeks ago.
Really?
And that was all him, getting them all and at the events and signing them and shit. Yeah. Wow. So. Okay. So let's see. Where were we? Right. Okay. So Warrior was eliminated by Chico, right?
Warlord.
I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Warlord was limited by
Chico. Did a surprise, you know, heel Warlord. Turn.
Yeah.
On the board.
Right, yeah.
Pinned his own teammate.
Pinned his own teammate. I apologize. Chico was eliminated by Ted DiBiase, so bye-bye Chico. Pretty Paul Roma was eliminated by Hulk Hogan.
But this is the fun way, before you run down the list, Hogan was having his ass kicked for, you know, however long, you know, playing the
whole. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was playing the, like, this was like supposed to be like the hot tag.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, watching it now, it's like Hogan's about to make this hot tag. But on the way to making that hot tag, he just happens to pin Paul Roma.
Yeah. On the way of, like, reaching, like, he's so beat up and tired. Yeah. I'm just going to beat up on Paul Roma.
I can't handle anymore. Let me just pin Paul Roma.
Pin Paul Roma and we'll call it a day.
Right. Yeah, and then I'll make the tag.
Exactly. So.
But then after he makes the tag, Warrior's in there for less than a minute. Tags Hogan back in. Hogan makes another pin.
Well, here's the turning point of the match. Rick Martel apparently does not like this team. So the bitch move of the night, which I thought was the best move of the night, believe it or not.
Which I was surprised that didn't turn into a, you know, like a story there or anything like
it
that.
It should have, and I thought about that yesterday when I was typing my notes up at work. I was like,
and DiBiase's kind of like for that brief moment before he has his ass handed to him, he's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, so Martel like just says, I'm done.
Yeah.
I've wrestled twice tonight.
Hit him with the boot, you know, he clotheslined him, you know, he's just kind of like rolling out. He's like, you know, I have a funny feeling how this is going to turn out. Let me just walk away from it.
Yeah, you know, I don't like the way this team is clicking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to pick myself up and go.
You know, Warlord, you know, of all people, Chico got a win on him a couple seconds.
Right.
Even though, was it, no, I was about to say, didn't Warlord beat Chico at SummerSlam 90?
Yes.
So this is like a little bit of revenge right here.
Yes. This is the payback, if you will.
And he beat his ass in 29 seconds, and, you know, Roma is just kind of getting pinned when Hogan's down and out.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, Martel's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, fuck your couch.
Yeah.
I'm out of here, man.
You know, Slick's not, you know, my manager anymore. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, fuck you and Slick.
Yeah.
Okay, so
loser ass.
So he just picks up and walks out. Phil at this point applauds again after watching it because I loved it the first time. And then of course DiBiase gets eliminated by Hogan.
Hey, he's the number one contender. Isn't Hogan the number one contender now?
Yeah.
No.
not on the following night. No.
Not 1990. No.
Nope. Not 1990. And Hercules was eliminated by the Warrior.
After Hogan beat the shit
after
out
Hogan
of...
Hogan beat the shit out of Hercules.
Yeah, then he just kind of... yeah, you know, I'm not joking. I'm not...
No, I know.
He beat the fuck out of him. And then he tags in Warrior, and he's like, okay, you know, do your stupid little move and pin him, and that's what happened.
It's awesome. Awesome.
And that's Survivor Series 1990.
That is Survivor Series 1990.
Yes.
Again, it was nice to rehash it. It was nice to watch it again. I watched it twice just to get myself into it again.
Hey, it's so short. You can definitely fit it in during your day schedule.
Oh, I love the MP4 format. I just put them on thumb drives and I carry them with me wherever I go. So
you're a genius.
No, I'm just getting savvy with it.
You're a savvy guy.
All right. Well, Dave, any closing notes before we put number 43 in the books?
You know, I'm excited for the future, the wrestling conspiracies, the Morton Downey Jr. 2020 Wrestling is Fake episode.
Wrestling is Fake. That should be like the episode 50. We have...
Listen, me and Eddie finished a little commercial for the Underground Strength Gym, which is run by Zach Evanesh, who I did the Warrior show with, Warrior University.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to do a George Hackenschmidt episode. So I'm going to be putting some material together for that because Zach re-released Hack's book, The Way to Live.
Yeah, I want to do another Survivor Series maybe before we wrap it up, and then we're going to get into December.
I'm curious about 87. I haven't watched that one in a while.
Let's try to shoot for 87. If you guys think of anything else you want us to cover, let Dave and I know. We're not hard to find. We'll definitely reach out to you.
We got a potpourri of different things to talk about.
We do, man. We actually do. So December is going to be real huge. Here's what I'm working on. I'm working on a Christmas special.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Working on the Starrcade 89. That's going to be our big Christmas spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, you're starting to sound like
the Wolfman's I got the spirit of Wolfman, Jack Foley in me. I love that dude. But yeah, you got that going on, and Thanksgiving is coming up. What was your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Not a big Thanksgiving guy at all.
Not at all.
But,
like growing up, you didn't.
No.
My favorite holiday. You can tell.
I actually ate a lot of pizzas on Thanksgiving, but if I have to pick a favorite,
what the Powers family didn't do turkey at all.
No, we're a strange family. We usually don't hang out with each other on Thanksgiving.
I have a friend who, like, for years, his whole family would eat Chinese food on Thanksgiving. They didn't like turkey. They would order, like, they would get the entire family together in their house and buy and order Chinese food. So,
hey, I can't knock it. Chinese food is pretty good any time of the year.
Yeah, big thing for the Rea family is my mom's stuffing, so I'm once I'm perfecting that, I think.
What about the sweet potatoes?
No, not a fan. My wife is a big sweet potato fan, though.
Pumpkin pie?
Love pumpkin pie. Love it. Mashed potatoes.
Drizzling gravy.
Yeah, man. We're going to actually deep fry a turkey this year.
What?
Yeah, man.
Are you going to do that for Survivor Series?
No.
Ah.
No, we're going to just do some snacks. That's going to be actually another episode. My buddy Tank is going to be filling in.
A snacks episode?
Yeah. Tank and I are going to be doing an episode for the throwbacks. Tank actually co-hosted with me a few episodes before I got the format down.
Uh-huh.
My buddy Tommy. And we went to an ECW card back in May of 98 called It Ain't Seinfeld.
I remember hearing about that. At the
Elks Lodge in Queens.
Uh-huh.
So Tommy and I got the footage for that. We're actually going to do a throwback about that.
Nice.
So that's going to be – so we had the episode. We got the It Ain't Seinfeld coming up. We got a couple conspiracy theories coming up, Brewing with Dave. We got the spectacular Christmas special coming up. And I hope to get a round table with some of the network. That should be fun.
I would love that.
We're going to do like a State of the Union address.
Plus, I never met some of these guys, so it would be cool to see them in person.
Yeah, either that or we'll Skype with them and, you know,
smell
like,
them and what?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, we'll good like that. So, of course, this is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, part of the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. You can reach us on Facebook.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. You can tweet us at TBuckleTbacks. You can email us, TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com.
Does anybody ever use email?
Yes, our contacts for this, like, you know, Dave Millican and the T-shirt guy.
But nobody's just, like, shouting out. Like,
No, that tag team tournament thing, we had some emails. When we started doing that, then that shit to bed. But, no, I mean, you know, if you want to email, people that really don't use email. But I put it out there anyway just in case, you know, people are listening.
Isn't that what the kids use to do their homework these days?
Right, yeah, youtube.com/Turnbuckle Throwbacks. That's going to be, I'm going to be actually adding stuff to that. I got to figure out how to do that. But the network is really, really huge right now, Dave. We got 9 shows. We got the Wolfman Jack Foley, Apex Radio, 2.5 Wrestlers has been getting really good.
Mm.
We have the Fallen Angels. We have our boys, Mike and Adam, and Midnight Jury. PJ Polacco, Just Incredible, Pro Wrestling 101. And we have, of course, the Shining Wizards.
We're taking over.
We're taking over, brother. We're taking over this whole thing. So Geek Life Radio, the Rant Network. Shining Wizards Network, you can find us all on those or go to iTunes or Stitcher. We are there. We're making moves. And that's going to do it for myself, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, for Dave Mega Powers. We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Till next time, take care of yourselves, each other, and avoid the clap. Dave?
Peace out, niggas.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is the Black Scorpion. And when I'm not looking for Sting or Tickles, I am listening to the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizards.com. Be a mark. Buy the shirt. I'm coming for you, Sting. And Tickles, too.
What's up, kids? Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head back over to the network and check out Pro Wrestling 101. That's right, Pro Wrestling 101 with Just Incredible. It's a show about the ins and outs of pro wrestling, hosted by 20-year veteran of the sport, hardcore icon, Just Incredible. Now, that's not just the best. That's not just the coolest. That's Just Incredible, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. What's up, kids? Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as you're done with our podcast, head back over to the Shining Wizards Network for 2.5 wrestlers. Two professional wrestlers, Pat Buck and Kevin Matthews. Oh, and that other guy, Jay Silva. They give you their insight to a wonderful yet corrupt industry of professional wrestling. So join the bad boys of podcasting, 2.5 wrestlers, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. The Neck Breaker Podcast! The Neck Breaker Podcast is a pro wrestling and heavy metal themed podcast. Guests interviews, wrestling headlines, and metal news, while hosts Brian and John get completely friggin' shit-faced. Past guests include Eric Bischoff, Fit for an Autopsy, Power Glove, and many, many more. So head on over to the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com, and check out The Neck Breaker Podcast! Hey guys, it's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as you're done with our podcast, head back over to swn.shiningwizards.com and check out my boys, The Midnight Jury. Mike and Adam host The Midnight Jury. It's a podcast that transports you back to the last old school generation. They debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, and even before cell phones, there was the last old school, my old school generation. Check out my boys at The Midnight Jury. You won't regret it. They're pretty awesome.
Awesome.
Hey, it's Big Phil from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Check out my crew, the Fallen Angels. The Gideon Triplets, Kanzer, Krim, and Dante bring you the inside stories of pro wrestling. With over a decade of experience in the business, they bring a wealth of knowledge. Well, if they're getting along, for long enough to share it. Check out the Fallen Angels exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network, swn.shiningwizards.com. Hey, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with this podcast, head back over and check out my buddy from the north, Apex Radio, featuring the Stickman. Canadian wrestling fan and photographer Stickman has made a triumphant return to podcasting. bringing not only his perspective from north of the border, but also his unique brand of humor. If you find that amusing, eh? Check out my buddy Stickman exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. SWN.ShiningWizards.com.
Loaded. It's the Four Arms and Funk Radio Spectacular, featuring the Wolfman Jack Foley. Along with the Stickman comes his longtime friend and compatriot from the North, the fantastic friend himself, the Wolfman Jack Foley. He will not only give you the business about the business, but he'll also be serving up a heaping plate of funk, baby. That's right, heaping plates of funk, exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. SWN.ShiningWizards.com. Oh, Lord, that's funky.
Hey, guys, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Check out my two boys, Chris Espo, Will Sweeney, the Gurus of the Gridiron, Tattoos and Touchdowns, live every Sunday exclusively on MolekRadio.com from 10 a.m. to noon. All your insight, spot-on predictions, and quite honestly, a move before the bookie calls you, go to Tattoos and Touchdowns. Every Sunday, exclusively on MolekRadio.com. Hey guys, Big Phil here from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As soon as you're done with our show, head on over to RantomRadio.com, RENTEMRAIDO, RantomRadio.com, where you'll hear the rant every Tuesday, the wrestling call-in show every Saturday, and you have What Are You Reading? For all your sports and entertainment needs, head on over to RantomRadio.com. Those guys are awesome. And of course, you can listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks in their rotation as well every week, exclusively on RantomRadio.com.